Our first scripture tonight is Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And then in Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, for by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Now, Sister Lorna, you will have recognized the scripture quickly, because I preached basically using this same scripture on Sunday in the Linden Lodge, and so Lorna would be the only one besides myself that were there. Now, there's one blessed thing about this. The Word of God never gets old. And if we would only want to hear the messages from God's Word once, we would be wandering around precisely as it says in one of those scriptures, as little infants we'd be wandering around, flailing around and wondering where we were. Before we go into the scriptures that were read, I would like to point out two scriptures that are very similar one to another. They're both found in Matthew. One is found in Matthew 18:18, and one is found in Matthew 16:19. Matthew 18:18 says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And the subheading, in some Bibles at least, it indicates that this is a scripture used to correct the sinning brother or the sinning person. However, when I read that very similar verse in chapter 16, I recognize that no. This is not just a scripture that should be used possibly in dealing with sinning people, and maybe on the other hand it should, but it should be used to deal with me. With me. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And it's some years ago now when I determined that I was going to bind myself to the plan and purpose of God for my life. That's it. You've heard me say before, and there's a good number of you people that have dealt with horses and deal with people horses on a daily basis now, and you recognize and realize that the young ones, if you're going to tie them up, you want to tie them to something quite solid. If you don't want a wreck. And me being a sheep of His fold, if I'm going to tie myself to something, I better tie myself to something that is solid. And there is nothing more solid than Jesus Himself. I bind myself to the plan and purpose of God for my life, because there is no plan that is better. That's as good as it gets. And so when I bind myself to Him, then there are a number of things that I like to loose. Get out of my life. It doesn't belong. And I shared with somebody just on Monday because they had heard the message on Sunday, but they didn't get all the words. And so they asked on Monday at prayer, at Bible study, what were those six things that you pray for? And I listed them again. Fear, anxiety, stress, worry, anger, and pride. Out. You have no place in my life. It does not come from God, and therefore it is destructive. And if these things are present in my life, I have a problem. I'm beginning to flounder like the little child. I'm beginning to wonder, where am I at in my spiritual walk? If you have your Bibles with you, and you probably do, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. Hallelujah. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. I am using the New King James Version. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. There's the word. Bind. I have in my spiritual walk, I have very frequently heard people talk about binding the devil and binding the demons and binding these. And I find in Scripture that there's an angel in Revelation talks about an angel that has the keys to bind up the devil. I don't have the key. So I've come to recognize and realize the best thing that I can do is bind myself to Jesus. If I'm going to do any binding, bind myself to Him. And then He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, keep that solid. Bind them around your neck. Mercy and truth. Oh, and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Isn't that nice? To have high esteem in the sight of God and man. Rather than people saying, oh, there he goes, or there she goes. Ugh. I'll take the other sidewalk on the other side of the street. Rather to have the kind of a name that, oh, there's this person I haven't seen for some time, but I know them a little. I've got to meet him. I was going to go down this, but I'm going to go on that side of the street now so I can meet this person again. Like, wow. To have a name that is esteemed is desirous. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart. You know, the last time I was here was on a Tuesday, as usual. And on Wednesday, I had this blessed time going to prison. And on Thursday early morning, my friend that was with me here last time, we left early for Fort St. John, British Columbia. You know, before I go to Fort St. John, British Columbia in the dead of winter, I do a lot of praying. And even though I did a lot of praying, the temperature was still minus 30 when I got up in Fort St. John, and I didn't have my car plugged in, and it ran. Like, yes. We were there just north of Fort St. John. It's about 65 miles. There's a little community. It's called Prespetu. And I said to my friend Corny, I said, I'd like to stay. I sang at a Valentine's banquet on the Friday. Saturday, they had a bit of a concert there for me in a little community hall. Oh, man, I had an experience there. I wept. I really did. Should I tell you? I was singing. I found another friend that I had met at one of the festivals up in that part of the country, and I said, Joe, would you like to play with me? He said, sure. And he played a wonderful guitar, and we had just the grandest time. And we were doing this concert together, and I was at my last song. I was going to do my last song. And the door opened, and a man walked in. This is 65 miles north of Fort St. John. A man walked in, and I said, you're just a little bit late. You're just on time for the last song. And he said, I just had to come and see you. Really? He says, I was working till now. I said, what do you do? He said, I drive truck. So I said, so what's your name? And I, of course, I do these kind of things because I'm weird, right? Like, not your common speaker. So I said, so what's your name? And he told me his name, and immediately it sounded familiar. Then he said, I was one of the boys in your class in Drumheller. And I just wept. Tears just rolled. Really? One of my guys, and he knew the concert had to be almost, but I just had to see you. I said, Connor, come on up here. We're going to have a prayer time here. And he came up, and my friend Corny came up, and the three of us were just praying together right around the speaker. And when we were done, there was hardly a dry eye in that place. Touched my heart. Touched my heart. Anyway, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The next day, Sunday morning, we were sitting in a Sunday school class, and the young man that was teaching the class, he was reading a portion of Scripture. And the word heart was in that portion of Scripture. And I said to the young man, I said, I think it would be very appropriate if you explained what the heart is. And I immediately realized that he couldn't. And so I sense that I should share that with the people, that when the Scripture talks about the heart of man, it is making reference to the place of the spirit and the soul, the heart of man. So many people came up to me after and thanked me for what I had said. But it says here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your spirit. Trust him. Why? Because lean not on your own understanding. We haven't got it. Did you mention it, Dee? Who said that without Jesus we can't really do anything? That's exactly what it says in the Gospel of John. Without me you can do nothing. Wow. Trust him. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Turn to Proverbs 7, 1 to 3. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Heart again. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Bind. Write them there. I pray very often, ladies and gentlemen, Father, burn it. Burn it. Burn it into my heart so it cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. It is impossible to be moved because my Heavenly Father has burned it into my heart. Isn't that why ranchers brand their cattle? Identification. It's there. It's not that easily changed. Burned into our heart, absolutely a necessity. Now, we're up to the scripture that was read. This, of course, in Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, one day, Jesus, he's in the town of Capernaum. I'm guessing it looked quite different than it did when I was there, but I did find it interesting walking down the street in Capernaum and then thinking, Jesus walked here or something very close here. That's where he was. Wow. And then in one of the small towns along the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, for lunch one day I ordered fish. It was fatty. It was greasy. And I thought, wow. I mean, I don't mind some seafood, but when it's like that, it's a little like, ooh. Then all of a sudden it hit me. Of course. What was it? 200 hogs ran into that sea and drowned. Or was it even 2,000? 2,000. No wonder the fish are greasy in there. Anyway, that's the craziness of my imagination. Jesus was in Capernaum, and he was in the synagogue, and he was handed the book, and he read this portion. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. You know, earlier in the year, I said to my board of directors of the Gospel Troubadours Prison Fellowship that I think I would like to concentrate and focus on going to places where I've been, or Carol, my wife and I, where we used to go, even as far as into Ontario and northern British Columbia and so on and so forth. I think I should focus on going to some of these places. Well, my trip to Winkler and to Fort St. John, God orchestrated that within 24 hours. There it was. And you know what? That was some of the worst winter driving I've done in years. Through Saskatchewan and up and down. There it was, howling a snowstorm, and up north it was just brutally cold. But after I'd made those trips, I said, I'm not focusing on anything but Him. Because He can orchestrate stuff for me quicker than I can think. It doesn't take anything for Him, because He knows where I've been, and He knows where people know me. He knows where people want to see me. So why would I worry about it? Let Him do it. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bind up. The version that brother read was bind up. And in the New King James Version, it says to heal the brokenhearted. I like the portion where it says bind up. Once again, it's these words, binding, healing, okay? To proclaim liberty to the captives. I don't know about you, but I don't like confinement. I said to the boys in the prison last Wednesday, I said, you know what? I've gone through some of the units here at Drumheller. And I praise God that I'm never locked up there. I haven't had a problem with claustrophobia for quite some time, but I used to have it so bad, if they would put me in one of them cells and close the door, I would go stark raving mad. Because when claustrophobia used to hit me, I had to get up and get out. Not maybe. Now! I have stood for hours at my bedroom window with the window open a little bit so I could be breathing fresh air. Just stood there. Claustrophobia. If I tried to lay down in bed, I had to get up. Now, it's a horrible thing. Liberty. How many of you love liberty? Freedom. I tell you what, when you're wallowing in sin, you're hanging on to some favorites that you don't want to get rid of. You're not having liberty. I know, I've been there. I did it. It's not liberty. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord, because you know what? Vengeance is coming pretty quick. I'm afraid we are right there, ladies and gentlemen. It won't be long. And we will see the vengeance of the Lord. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I don't know. My mind, when I read this, the oil of joy. Like, first of all, oil. That's slick, isn't it? The oil of joy. Like, it just, to me, it just speaks of, yes! Excitement! Joy! Wow! Liberty! It's incredible! The garment of praise. You heard me say that. That spring when I was wallowing in cow manure behind the barn and the calves were scouring and I was dragging dead calves out of the shed every day. And I confronted the Lord on this. I said, this ain't abundant living. You know what he said? You remember what I said? Rick, you're going to have to learn to praise me. Huh? And listen, you may not be working behind a cow barn or anything. You may have a job somewhere or whatever. But I'll tell you what, if you are in up to your eyeballs, whatever your job may be, and then somebody says, well, you should be praising. What? No, no, really. Learn to praise God when you don't feel like it. Do it anyway. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be, what's the word? Glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I have one burning desire in my heart, and that is to glorify God with my life. With my life. Glorify God. My God is the only true living God there is. I just heard a sad, sad story this morning of something that happened in India. I believe there was a family of five. And all of a sudden, a 12-year-old in that family became demon-possessed. And there was nothing but trouble and grief in that family. And these people, they were looking for some way to get some relief. And they had no idea what to do. And one day, the demon in this young girl told the father of the family, if you will sacrifice her, you will have no more problems. And he said, no, I'm not going to sacrifice her. And things got so bad that he finally went to buy poison. He was just going to kill the whole family. Done. And he goes and he gets some poison to poison his entire family. And on his way home, he meets a preacher. And I understand in India there aren't very many preachers. He meets a preacher. And he asks him, the preacher asks him, can I pray for you? And of course, you can pray. Well, to make a long story short, after the preacher and that congregation prayed for that 12-year-old, 45 minutes with the demon screaming and yelling, in 45 minutes, the demon started screaming, just let me out of here. And she was delivered. And the family is alive today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to be glorified, and you and I, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Let's glorify the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Glorify God in whatever we do. Ephesians now. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know what? We maybe do not have very many people that are demon-possessed. But I am afraid that there are a considerable amount of people, including ones that go to church, that have demons that have access into their lives. And they can work them over anytime they feel like it. And it's a terrible position to have. And this is why I said right from the outset, I pray that those six items that I mentioned, these have to go because these are tools that the devil will use. And I know for a fact that a couple of weak spots that I have is anger and pride. They got to go. They cannot be here. Because that is the place where the devil will try to set me up. When you know that you have a stronghold that the devil can and will use to set you up, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. But speaking the truth in love, isn't that great? Isn't it marvelous when you can speak the truth in love? The person that is saying something to you, you can believe that that's truth. And when the person says, I love you, you believe that. Believe it. May grow up in all things into him who is the head. Who? Christ. Jesus. 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 He's the King. The Christ. He's the head. He's the head of the church. From whom the whole body joined and knit together. Okay, are we a body here? Are we a body here? Can you imagine that? Are we a body here? From the whole body joined and knit together. But what every joint supplies, like that tells me that every one of you, me, we all supply something to this building. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no problem telling each one of you, I love you. I love you. I love being with you. I love being here and hearing the singing and the and to hear the word read and to have an opportunity to speak the word. It doesn't get any better than that for me. Like, I used to be addicted to hockey. I'd kill myself playing hockey. Now, they can't play hockey exciting enough to keep me awake. Yesterday, Monday, is Bible study. It is a video showing, and it's just all I can do to keep my eyes open to the end. Because I usually go to bed at 7. That's crazy. But in the morning, I have. But how am I energy tonight? Well, because I pray and I ask, Lord, I'm going to need some energy tonight because I am with some fellow saints. And we want to bring honor and glory to you. We want to have this oil of joy that is going to be flowing here tonight. Lord God, pour it on us. Pour it on us. Pour it on us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91. 1-6. Oh, I know I'm out of time. But I got to go into this a little bit. He who dwells... Psalm 91, verse 1-6, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that great? It doesn't get any better than that. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust. And it's just the way it is. And it's never going to be otherwise. Surely, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies day by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are living in a time where we will more and more see the very things that I've just read. It will be right in our face. Be right there. And we'll deal with it one way or the other. How are we going to deal with it? Are we going to trust him? Is he in control? Do we know that? You know, when I said to Carol just before she left, I said, you know what, dear? We have been singing songs of praise and glory. We've been singing songs of hope in going to heaven. We have been singing songs and we've been preaching. Did we know what, or did we believe? Did we believe what we said? Now when all of a sudden we're staring death in the face, now where are you at? Oh, it's all well. I mean, everybody's healthy and everybody's strong and everybody's it's good. We can sing all kinds of wonderful gospel songs and But what if all of a sudden you're staring death in the face? You still believe it? You still believe what you say? May we trust and believe. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God bless you, folks, real good. What a joy it is to be with you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the faith that is a gift from you. Thank you for the love that you shower upon us that we can share with one another. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen.